Promise of comfort and forgiveness is taken this morning from 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 1 through 25. Peter, an apostle of Jesus Christ, to God's elect, strangers in the world, scattered throughout Pontus, Galatia, Cappadocia, Asia, and Bithynia, who have been chosen according to the foreknowledge of God the Father, through the sanctifying work of the Spirit, for obedience to Jesus Christ and sprinkling by His blood. Grace and peace be yours in abundance. Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. In His great mercy, He has given us new birth into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, and into an inheritance that can never perish, spoil or fade, kept in heaven for you, who through faith are shielded by God's power into the coming of the salvation that is ready to be revealed in the last time. In this you greatly rejoice, though now for a little while you may have had to suffer grief in all kinds of trials. These have come so that your faith, of greater worth than gold, which perishes even though refined by fire, may be proved genuine and may result in praise, glory, and honor when Jesus Christ is revealed. Though you have not seen Him, you love Him. And even though you do not see Him now, you believe in Him and are filled with an inexpressible and glorious joy, for you are receiving the goal of your faith, the salvation of your souls. Concerning this salvation, the prophets who spoke of the grace that was to come to you searched intently and with the greatest care, trying to find out the time and circumstances to which the Spirit of Christ in them was pointing, when He predicted the sufferings of Christ and the glories that would follow. It was revealed to them that they were not serving themselves, but you, when they spoke of the things that have now been told you by those who have preached the gospel to you by the Holy Spirit sent from heaven. Even angels long to look into these things. Therefore, prepare your minds for action. Be self-controlled. Set your hope fully on the grace to be given you when Jesus Christ is revealed. As obedient children, do not conform to the evil desires you had when you lived in ignorance. But just as He who called you is holy, so be holy in all that you do. For it is written, "Be holy, because I am holy." Since you call on a Father who judges each man's work impartially, live your lives as strangers here in reverent fear. For you know that it was not with perishable things such as silver or gold that you were redeemed from the empty way of life handed down to you from your forefathers, but with the precious blood of Christ, a lamb without blemish or defect. He was chosen before the creation of the world, but was revealed in these last times for your sake. Through Him you believe in God, who raised Him from the dead and glorified Him. And so your faith and hope are in God. Now that you have purified yourselves by obeying the truth, so that you have sincere love for your brothers, love one another deeply, from the heart. For you have been born again, not of perishable seed, but of imperishable, through the living and enduring Word of God. For all men are like grass, and all their glory is like the flowers of the field. The grass withers and the flowers fall, but the Word of the Lord stands forever. And this is the word that was preached to you. Brothers and sisters, arise and hear the good news. Beloved of the Lord, children of God, those of you who have been baptized into union with Jesus Christ, God Himself promises you the forgiveness of the Father, the victory of the Son, and the glory and empowerment of the Holy Spirit. Believe this and rejoice. Amen. Let us respond now to God's promise of comfort by singing unto Him with joyful song. We come before Almighty God in the heavenly places with our hearts open, all desires known, and from whom no secrets are hid. We submit ourselves humbly to the Word, that we might be shaped and changed to be more like our Savior in Christ. So let us hear and respond in faith to God's word, that we may perfectly love him and magnify his glorious name through Jesus Christ our Lord. God's will for life this morning is taken from Deuteronomy chapter 7, verses 1 through 26. Brothers and sisters, this is the word of our Lord. When the Lord your God brings you into the land you are entering, to possess and drive out before you many nations, the Hittites, Girgashites, Amorites, Canaanites, Perizzites, Hivites, and Jebusites, seven nations larger and stronger than you. And when the Lord your God has delivered them over to you, and you have defeated them, then you must destroy them totally. Make no treaty with them, and show them no mercy. Do not intermarry with them. Do not give your daughters to their sons, or take their daughters for your sons. For they will turn your sons away from following me to serve other gods. And the Lord's anger will burn against you and will quickly destroy you. This is what you are to do to them. Break down their altars, smash their sacred stones, cut down their Asherah poles, and burn their idols in the fire. For you are a people holy to the Lord your God. The Lord your God has chosen you out of all the peoples on the face of the earth to be his people, his treasured possession. The Lord did not set his affection on you and choose you because you were more numerous than other peoples, for you were the fewest of all peoples. But it was because the Lord loved you and kept the oath he swore to your forefathers, that he brought you out with a mighty hand and redeemed you from the land of slavery, from the power of Pharaoh, king of Egypt. Know therefore that the Lord your God is God. He is the faithful God, keeping his covenant of love to 1,000 generations of those who love him and keep his commands. But those who hate him, he will repay to their face by destruction. He will not be slow to repay to their face those who hate him. Therefore, take care to follow the commands, decrees, and laws I give to you today. If you pay attention to these laws and are careful to follow them, then the Lord your God will keep his covenant of love with you, as he swore to your forefathers. He will love you and bless you and increase your numbers. He will bless the fruit of your womb, the crops of your land, your grain, new wine and oil, the calves of your herds and the lambs of your flocks, in the land that he swore to your forefathers to give you. You'll be blessed more than any other people. None of your men or women will be childless, nor any of your livestock without young. The Lord will keep you free from every disease. He will not inflict on you the horrible diseases you knew in Egypt, but he will inflict them on all who hate you. You must destroy all the peoples the Lord your God gives over to you. Do not look on them with pity and do not serve their gods, for that will be a snare to you. You may say to yourselves, "These nations are stronger than we are. How can we drive them out?" But do not be afraid of them. Remember well what the Lord your God did to Pharaoh and to all Egypt. You saw with your own eyes the great trials, the miraculous signs and wonders, the mighty hand and outstretched arm with which the Lord your God brought you out. The Lord your God will do the same to all the peoples you now fear. Moreover, the Lord your God will send the hornet among them until even the survivors who hide from you have perished. Do not be afraid, terrified by them, for the Lord your God, who is among you, is a great and awesome God. The Lord your God will drive out those nations before you little by little. You will not be allowed to eliminate them all at once, or the wild animals will multiply around you. But the Lord your God will deliver them over to you, throwing them into great confusion until they are destroyed. He'll give their kings into your hand, and you will wipe out their names from under heaven. No one will be able to stand up against you. You will destroy them. The images of their gods you are to burn in the fire. Do not covet the silver and gold on them, and do not take it for yourselves, or you'll be ensnared by it, for it is detestable to the Lord your God. Do not bring a detestable thing into your house, or you, like it, will be set apart for destruction. Utterly abhor and detest it, for it is set apart for destruction. This is the word of our Lord. Thanks be to God. Let us go to him now in prayer and ask for the Spirit's blessing on the reading and proclamation of his word. Will you pray with me? Let our cry come before you, O Lord. Give us understanding according to your word. Let our supplication come before you. Deliver us according to your word. Let our lips utter praise for you to teach us your statutes. Let our tongues sing of your word, for all your commandments are righteousness. Let your hand be ready to help us, for we have chosen your precepts. We long for your salvation, O Lord, and your law is our delight. Let our souls live that we may praise you, and let your ordinances help us. We have gone astray like lost sheep. Seek your children, for we do not forget your commandments. And now, Lord, by your Spirit, open up our ears, our minds, our hearts, and our souls to receive your word, to receive your truth, and to move us, Lord, by your Spirit, to go forth by faith, serving you in this world. And now, Lord, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be pleasing in your sight, O Lord, our rock and our Redeemer. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. As we prepare to hear the word of God, let us prepare our souls with joyful song. Let us stand together and sing God's praises. Our sermon text this morning is taken from Paul's letter to the Ephesian church, chapter 1, verses 1 through 14. Ephesians 1, 1 through 14. Brothers and sisters, the word of God is being read in your hearing. Hear it with faith and do not harden your hearts. Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus, by the will of God, to the saints in Ephesus, the faithful in Christ Jesus. Grace and peace to you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in the heavenly realms with every spiritual blessing in Christ. For he chose us in him before the creation of the world to be holy and blameless in his sight. In love, he predestined us to be adopted as his sons through Jesus Christ, in accordance with his pleasure and will, to the praise of his glorious grace, which he has freely given us in the one he loves. In him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins, in accordance with the riches of God's grace, that he lavished on us with all wisdom and understanding. And he made known to us the mystery of his will, according to his good pleasure, which he purposed in Christ, to be put into effect when the times will have reached their fulfillment, to bring all things in heaven and on earth together under one head, even Christ. In him we were also chosen, having been predestined according to the plan of him who works out everything in conformity with the purpose of his will, in order that we, who were the first to hope in Christ, might be for the praise of his glory. And you also were included in Christ when you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation. Having believed, you were marked in him with a seal, the promised Holy Spirit, who is a deposit guaranteeing our inheritance until the redemption of those who are God's possession to the praise of his glory. May the Lord bless unto us this day the reading of his holy and infallible word. Brothers and sisters, beloved in the Lord, we come this Lord's Day to the Lord's house by faith. We draw near to the throne of grace of Almighty God. We come by faith that we may receive mercy and find grace from God in our time of need. And yes, we need mercy. We need his grace. As the Apostle Paul wrote in his epistles to the churches over and over, grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Yes, brothers and sisters, we need God's mercy and we need his grace. For though we are saved, we are redeemed, we are holy in God's sight, we are also weak. We are weak in our flesh, we are weak in our minds, we are weak in our hearts. As the famous hymn goes, we are prone to wander, prone to leave the God we love. So we need real mercy. We need real grace. So we come to the source, the true source, that is Yahweh our God. And coming to his heavenly throne, we come to his fountain. The world in which we labor for the kingdom of God is a dry and weary wilderness. As Jesus testified to the woman at the well, he is the fountain of living waters. And this water that pours forth from his throne of grace, brothers and sisters, that fountain is not a slow drip. We don't come to that fountain for a trickle. Our God is not a broken cistern. He isn't a dried out garden hose. No, we come to take a sip of his grace and it shoots out like a fire hose. We come for mercy and we receive a shower like Niagara Falls. Our God gives his mercy and his grace in abundance. When we come to him in humility and faith, he lavishes his mercy and grace upon us. And like a sponge, we are saturated with that mercy and with that grace. So we come this day and we begin a series in the book of Ephesians. In this first chapter of Ephesians, the opening of Paul's letter provides an abundance of God's grace to his people. The Holy Spirit lists the blessed gifts God graciously gives us, his people. And as we hear this list and we receive this fountain of mercy from Almighty God, I can't help but be reminded of the prop comic Gallagher. Anyone hear of Gallagher? Prop comic? Gallagher smashes food with a sledgehammer during his comedic routines. His trademark, that for which the audience was always waiting, was the watermelon. He would build up, he'd smash all sorts of food, and the last would be the watermelons. And these routines would get so messy that the first few rows of the audience, they had to have sheets of plastic, which they pulled up over their heads to protect them from Gallagher's debris. So as we hear from Ephesians 1, I'm reminded of this, but brothers and sisters, have no fear. You will not need protection from smashed fruit this day. But I will tell you, you will get wet from the fountain of living waters, that is Jesus Christ. Now the Apostle Paul details here in Ephesians 1, God's grace, as it flows from the throne of God to the Ephesian church in the first century. Now this letter to the Ephesians has a very general quality to it. We don't hear about the specific location issues that we hear in, for example, the letter to the Corinthians or the letter to the Galatian church. So it's a little easier to hear from Ephesians to understand the language that existed for the first century but also exists for us today. So, brothers and sisters, from Ephesians 1, hear this gracious flow to you, God's people. First, Ephesians 1, verses 1 and 2. Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus by the will of God, to the saints in Ephesus, the faithful in Christ Jesus, grace and peace to you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, Paul addressed the church, he addressed them as the saints of Ephesus. Literally, the holy ones of Ephesus. We should not hear saints in a Roman Catholic sense, meaning only the excellent Christians, only those who are in the hall of fame of the church. No, Paul's writing to the whole church of Ephesus. Men, women, and children he addresses as saints. Later in Ephesians chapters 5 and chapter 6, Paul includes specific exhortations to specific groups in the church. We've read it before. Husbands, wives, children, slaves, slave masters, fathers. Okay, he addresses them specifically in those chapters, but here he addresses the whole church, the saints, the holy ones of God. And all who are in the church are holy. Holy ones, holy in the eyes of God. Now, the term holy is a heavy word in the scriptures. It is an incredibly gracious term because holiness is always connected to God. Holiness is connected to God. You cannot find holiness apart from God. You see this in the Gospels. People just want to touch Jesus Christ. They want to be connected to him because holiness flows from God, flows from Christ. So God says, you are holy. You are holy because God is holy. because you are connected to Him by His gracious covenant. And holiness brings wonderful blessings, wonderful privileges. When you hear holy, when you read your Bibles, when you hear in worship, when you hear holy, think Yahweh. Think our God. Think His holy dwelling place. His dwelling place is holy. And within His dwelling place in the Old Covenant was the Holy of Holies, or the most holy place. Everything connected to that dwelling place in the Old Covenant was consecrated as holy, as set apart. That was the Old Covenant. Now, how does God speak in the New Covenant? You are holy. You are God's people. You are His holy ones. You are the household of faith, the spiritual household of God. And the Holy Spirit testifies throughout the Scripture that God's dwelling place is holy. So put two and two together. If His dwelling place is holy, and you are holy, therefore you are the dwelling place of God. You are the most holy place. You are the holy of holies of Almighty God. The high priest in the Old Covenant would enter the Holy of Holies one day a year, just one day, the Day of Atonement, because it was so holy. And only one guy could enter, the high priest. God is so holy that nothing unclean or unholy can approach Him. So now, oh yeah, you are holy. You are the Holy of Holies. So take a deep sip of that grace from God. Let's pause there and have the kids come forward for the children's message. Do we have enough? Sure. Cast your eyes on me, please. I see your eyes. Good job. Good morning, the Lord be with you. Whew. Okay. Now the seven of you. Okay, so there's perfection up here. Okay, for this children's message. I want you to put your voices together. When I say the Lord be with you, you don't have to scream it. I want to hear with some volume, a little bit louder, and also with you. Like you actually mean it. Okay? The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Okay, some of you did better. Some of you just need more practice. Okay. All right. Now, I want to tell you a little something that's going on in our nation right now. And you might not have heard it. Okay, when we come together on Sunday nights for worship, we were talking about government. Okay, and I know you guys are kids, you're like, what's government? Why does that matter to me right now? Now, it's important that you grow up and you learn about government. But something really important happened this week. Okay, we have a sister in Christ who lives in Kentucky. Raise your hand if you've heard of Kentucky before. Some of you have. Okay, she has a job. And her job is to give licenses for marriages. When couples get together, they come and they get married, they need a license. For some reason, we need licenses to get married. And she's supposed to give those licenses out. But then this week, she had two guys come and say they wanted to get married. Thumbs up, thumbs down. Is that a good idea or a bad idea? Two guys getting married. Yeah, not a good idea. God says no. Okay? And then she had two girls come who wanted to get married. Thumbs up, thumbs down. Is that a good idea or a bad idea? Okay, yeah. God says that's an abomination. Okay? So she says, I can't do this. I'm a Christian. I can't give you these licenses. So you know what they did to her? Anybody hear what they did to her? They put her in jail. They put her in jail because she wouldn't give those licenses to those two guys who wanted to get married. She went to jail because she wouldn't give licenses to two girls who wanted to get married. Is that good or bad that she went to jail? Thumbs up, thumbs down. It's bad. She went to jail for that. That's not right. She says, I have to obey God, not people. I have to obey God. And God says this is bad. I won't do it. Was that good of her or bad of her to do that? It was good of her. She was being faithful to God. And she went to jail and she's still in jail. She stood up for her faith. She did the right thing. And she's in jail for it. There's a word for that. It starts with a P. Anybody know what that word is? Can you say persecution? Persecution? Can you say that? Persecution? Persecution? Okay, you can practice that later today. Okay? She's being treated badly for her faith. She's being treated badly because she's a Christian. So we should love her and support her. Any ideas? Who can raise their hand and give me an idea on how we can love and support her? Give you a hint, it starts with a P. It's not persecution. Any ideas? Emma? We can pray for her. Okay? She's our sister in Christ and she's in jail because she's a Christian, because she loves Jesus and she's obeying God. And she's doing the right thing. So can we pray for her? Yes? Will you fold your hands, please? And close your eyes? And repeat after me. Father in heaven, thank you for loving us. And thank you for saving us in Jesus. Please, Lord, by your Spirit, watch over our sister. Protect her. Give her strength. And help her persevere. Lord, change the hearts of those who hate her so she can get out of jail. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. All right, kiddos, good job. You can head back to your seats. Now, by God's grace, by His grace, we are holy. And it says here in Ephesians 1, implicitly, that we haven't done anything to earn it. It's entirely by His grace. God gives us holiness freely in His grace, in His peace, in His mercy. He gives it freely. And the Apostle Paul continued in this first section his description of what God has given us, the gifts He's given His people. Verse 3, praise be to the God and Father, our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in the heavenly realms with every spiritual blessing in Christ. Every spiritual blessing. Everything that Christ has accomplished. All the promises of the Old Covenant. Every promise that God makes to His people, they find their yes and their amen in Jesus Christ. And He gives us those blessings. He fulfills those promises to us, His people. And the benefits of Christ seated in the heavenly places are for you, and they are for me. They are for His church. Here are some more, verses 4 and 5. For He chose us in Him before the creation of the world to be holy and blameless in His sight. In love, He predestined us to be adopted as His sons through Jesus Christ, in accordance with His pleasure and will. So this, as a theological term, this is election. Choosing. He chose us. It's God's unchangeable, divine, sovereign decree. When did God save us? When He chose us. If His decrees are unchangeable, and they are because He's God, when He decided something before the foundation of the world, before He did anything else, if He decided it, it's done. The expression set in stone, it doesn't communicate the permanence of God's decree enough. Because stone can wear away. Stone can be broken. God can't swear by any other name but His own. And our election is founded and confirmed in Almighty God. You want security, you want insurance in this life? It's found in God. You can count on Him and you can count on His promises. Verses 6 through 8. To the praise of His glorious grace, which He's freely given us in the one He loves. In Him, that is Christ, we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of sins, in accordance with the riches of God's grace that He lavished on us with all wisdom and understanding. redemption. You are redeemed. You are no longer enslaved to the devil. You are free now to love God, to obey Him, and to serve Him. That's redemption. That's a gift from Christ that's given to you as people. Forgiveness. The Lord God no longer holds you guilty for your sin. He doesn't see us as sinners anymore, categorically. Now, grammatically, we are people who sin. But in terms of categories, how God looks down and sees us, He doesn't see us as sinners. He sees the world as sinners, but He sees us as forgiven, redeemed. You're not counted wicked, you are counted righteous. Those are all gifts from God. Apostle Paul says, He lavishes upon us the riches of His grace in all wisdom and all understanding. Our God is a gracious God. Verses 9 through 12, And He has made known to us the mystery of His will according to His good pleasure, which He purposed in Christ to be put into effect when the times will reach their fulfillment, to bring all things in heaven and on earth together under one head, even Christ. In Him we were also chosen. There's another reference to election. We were chosen, having been predestined according to the plan of Him who works out everything. He works out everything in conformity with the purpose of His will, in order that we, who were the first to hope in Christ, as the Ephesians, might be for the praise of His glory. So these four verses here, more sovereignty of God. More He's in control of everything. Yahweh did this. Yahweh gave you the gifts. Not you, not me. He did this. Now we could take three things from this testimony of God's grace. Three things. Number one, no boasting. No boasting of our salvation as though it were something we did. Okay, this will come into, you'll hear it again in chapter 2. The Lord did all of it. The Lord did all of it. Number two, He didn't just do some small thing. Okay, the good news of Jesus Christ isn't just this little snippet. Just want to whisper in your ear, tell you something nice. This is big stuff. This is heavy stuff. Your redemption, your salvation, Jesus Christ, what He accomplished for you, and the gifts that He gives you. That is huge. And this plan, it wasn't a reaction by God. It wasn't, oh no, Adam sinned. Oh no, all these human beings have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. I better do something about this. No. God had a plan all along. How far back? Before the creation of the world. This was His plan. Number three, our third takeaway is praise. Rejoicing. Exalting God. Lifting Him up with our praises. How can we not? He saved us. And not only did He save us, He had it all planned from the beginning. And His plan worked exactly how He planned it. How can we not praise this God? Now, there's a belief in the church, a desire to remove some responsibility for God, to take the bad things away from Him, the bad things that happen under His control. He can't be in control of the bad because He's God, and we don't want a God who does bad things or allows bad things to happen. We want to give ourselves more control for our salvation. God didn't choose me, I chose Him. We want more power to decide things, so we do things out from the mighty hand of God. And some of this is meant with good intentions. I mean, who wants to think about God and think about bad things? Okay, so it's meant with good intentions. But the Holy Spirit testifies here that God works all things. God works everything. Verse 5 again. He predestined us to be adopted as His sons through Jesus Christ in accordance with the purpose of His purpose and will. Okay? So your salvation is according to His purpose, His will. He's in control of it. Verse 11 again. In Him we were also chosen, having been predestined, that's His plan, predestined according to the plan of Him who works out everything. God works out everything according to the purpose of His will. in our desire to take responsibility away from God, we are changing Him to meet our criteria. We are changing Him to help our sensibilities, to help our faith. And brothers and sisters, this is faithless on our part. With this understanding, we limit God's power. We limit His godness. Now, we can't do that. I mean, explicitly we can't do it. He controls everything, no matter what we believe. But we conceive, we create a smaller God. A smaller God that we can stomach when we try to take power, take responsibility away from Him. Woe to us if we worship a God who actually, if we worship a God who can't control natural disasters. Woe to us if we worship a God who can't control wars. Woe to us if we worship a God who can't cure diseases, who can't save us from death. We want a God who does do that. What God does that? The Lord our God. He does that. He is our Creator. He is our Redeemer, Sanctifier, and Lord. He controls all the good things and all the bad things. He controls everything. And He controls all the great stuff that we hear in Ephesians 1, which He gives us in Christ Jesus. He controls all the bad things that we see in the world. We have to take this by faith. Now, as mentioned, He promised to do all of it. He fulfills all His promises. And just to strengthen your faith, beloved in the Lord, just to strengthen your faith, everything's going as He planned. Even our sister in Christ who's in jail. That's part of His plan. And He's the God we should want to worship. The Holy Spirit says, worship Him. Verse 12. All these things have happened according to His will, in order that we, who were the first to hope in Christ, might be for the praise of His glory. He works all things according to His will, so we would praise Him. He works all the good things so that we might praise Him. He works all the bad things so that we might praise Him. God's sovereignty, His eternal election, His unchangeable decrees drives us by faith to praise. Not to limiting Him, but to praising Him. Not to challenging Him for all the hard stuff in life, but to praise. Lastly, verses 13 and 14. You also were included in Christ when you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation. Having believed, you were marked in Him with a seal, the promised Holy Spirit, who is a deposit, guaranteeing our inheritance until the redemption of those who are God's possession, to the praise of His glory. This section concludes with promises. Promises, promises. All the mercy, all the grace, all the peace are according to God's plan and His promises. He pours them out upon us because He keeps His promises. And He tells us here to close the section, more promises. Your salvation, your redemption, your inheritance as God's possession. All promised to you, Church of God. You have gifts now that He promised before, and you have promises into the future. And in case we're weak in faith, here's the promised Holy Spirit who is sealed to you to guarantee that. Brothers and sisters, if you are doubting your faith at all, if this is a challenging section to you, I exhort you to repent and to believe. Believe the promises of God. If you're doubting, trust the Holy Spirit. And trust the promises in His Word. And this concludes, this section concludes, the Trinitarian divine work of God. God the Father chose you. God the Son saved you. God the Spirit pledges to preserve you to the end. Those should be words of comfort to us. And they should elicit praise from us. Praise that as grace pours out more and more upon us, praise should pour out of us more and more. Our responsibility is to believe and to rejoice. Rejoice in God. Now to Him who is able to do far more abundantly beyond all we ask or think, according to the power that works in us, To him be the glory in the church and in Christ Jesus to all generations, forever and ever. Amen. Let us pray. Holy Lord and Father in heaven, we beseech thee, let thy continual pity cleanse and defend thy church. And because it cannot continue in safety without your protection, preserve it evermore by your help and your goodness through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Let us respond to God's word, his gracious promises, now and in forever. Let us stand together and sing.